finding ways to cut.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama wants to freeze domestic spending starting in fiscal year 2011. The proposal in tomorrow's State of the Union address is an effort to reduce the $1.4 billion federal budget deficit. Meantime, today, the Senate could vote to create a commission to help secure the federal government's fiscal future. From Washington, Brett Neely has more.
The Deficit Cutting Commission is part of a bill that will let the government borrow an additional $1.9 trillion. The government's borrowing has federal budget expert Joe Minerick worried, which is why he's for some kind of commission.
We are piling up debt at a rate faster than our economy is growing.
Many economists say taxes have to rise and spending on Medicare and Social Security has to shrink to tame the deficit. They say a commission would give lawmakers political cover by making the tough proposals that neither party wants to put on the table. But the plan before the Senate isn't realistic, says economist Bruce Bartlett, who advised the Reagan and first Bush administrations.
The problem right now is that there is no real agreement on the necessity or the magnitude or the composition of deficit reduction.
Bartlett blames his own party, the Republicans, who have ruled out any tax increases to fix the deficit.
And I think that's just plain stupid.
Bartlett says until the parties work together, a commission won't accomplish much. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Another day of selling abroad. Shares in Europe are down by 0.5%. Markets in Asia lost 2%. Concerns about tighter money in China. Here at home yesterday, the Dow added 0.25% to close at 10,196. After the opening bell, we're going to get a couple of economic reports, a reading on consumer confidence and data on new home sales. The Fed starts a two-day policy meeting today. Its chairman, Ben Bernanke, is up for reconfirmation, and he's juggling both items, time with the Fed board, time with senators, some of whom, such as Illinois' Dick Durbin, support another term.
I think that he stepped in and made some critical decisions which saved our country from the abyss.
Things got a little dicey for Bernanke after the Massachusetts Senate upset last week propelled politically vulnerable senators into populist mode. That win for Republican Scott Brown made it a lot harder for Democrats to get an agenda through Congress. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice is with us this morning to give us a look ahead. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So now, after the last tumultuous week, is health care reform dead?
Well, something will be enacted that the president can call the first installment of health care reform, probably including regulations of the health insurance market, such as stopping insurers from denying coverage on the basis of pre-existing conditions. Democrats remember what happened in 1994 when they were in power but failed to pass any health care reform bill. Now, the problem is Republicans remember it, too, which means Senate Republicans won't give that 60th vote without a huge fight. Senator Olympia Snow could still be the dealmaker.
And what about other items on the congressional agenda, such as the cap and trade?
I'm afraid no way. The drop in public support for the health care bill, combined with a growing anti-incumbent mood, is making Congress even more gun-shy than usual.
And what about financial regulatory reform?
Oh, that's looking much more likely, Steve. The lesson Democrats took away from Scott Brown's victory last week is the surge of populist anger among voters. But it's hard to act populist without a target for your indignation. Now, Tea Partiers and Republicans are targeting big government. So the easiest target for the Democrats are the fat cats on Wall Street, as the president called them. Problem is, there's no agreement in Congress on what should be done, and the president's proposals, you know, for limiting the size and riskiness of banks and what they can do if they have secured deposits are still on the drawing board.
And speaking of the president, what's he going to say in tomorrow's State of the Union address?
Well, I don't expect him to be contrite or defensive about where things are right now, Steve. My betting is we'll hear about some new initiatives to jumpstart jobs and a commission to devise ways to reduce the budget deficit. The president will also reaffirm his commitment to health care reform and reforming Wall Street. The most important thing he has to do tomorrow will be to connect the dots and give Americans an overall vision of where he wants to take the country at this point. And so far, he hasn't done that, and that has hurt him.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, for 158 years providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at MassMutual.com.
Encouraging news for those with political or business power. Communications firm Edelman will present its annual trust survey at the World Economic Forum in Davos tomorrow. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to talk about it. Morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So the survey, when it was released last year, was dubbed a trust Armageddon because faith in leaders around the world had just plummeted in the economic crisis. Are things a little better now?
Yeah, they're somewhat better. Here are a few examples from this survey, which talks to well-educated middle and upper-income people around the world in 22 different countries. So trust in government, which has been rising since the financial crisis began, in the U.S., it's up from 30 to 43%. In China, by the way, it has held steady above 75%. CEOs are more trusted this year than last, and so are non-governmental organizations. Matt Harrington of Edelman says the results show a growing optimism that business and government leaders have shepherded their institutions well enough through the crisis.
But it's cautious optimism, and they need to see that companies have taken some lessons from the last 18 months and aren't going to return to old ways.
And Mitchell, quickly, are there any warnings here for leaders?
There are, especially for bankers. Trust in bankers in the U.S. is down below 30%. It was at nearly 70% just 2 years ago.
All right. Mitchell Hartman joining us this morning live. And this week, Marketplace's Stephen Beard will be reporting from Davos at the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. Finally, this morning in Greenwood, Indiana, a man and woman are reportedly going door to door asking people for $52, saying they need money to help State Representative Woody Burton save electricity. Nice gesture if Burton's office knew about it, and if the crooks told residents how, in fact, the money would help. Police say if you want to help save electricity, just turn off some lights. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.